Let's pray together. God, thank you for this portion of scripture that we are in today. We thank you that it is the inspired word of God for our good, that we would know you more and we would walk in your ways. Thank you for how it points to Christ, our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning. Help us to be teachable and humble. And I pray, Lord, that I would faithfully and accurately preach your word. Lord, that Jesus would be lifted up and we would draw near to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine you're driving home after church today or going to a birthday party even today. And on the way, you see a traffic officer with his hand up because there's been an accident on the way. Now, the traffic officer directs you to another path to get around that accident, and you slow down and you get around safely. You see the accident that was there, and you move along your way. You don't even think much about it, but you've submitted to the traffic officer. You've seen the goodness of submitting to his right authority. It has protected you from slamming into that accident, and it has protected those people on the ground as well. There are lots of situations in our life where we willingly submit to the authority of another for our own good and for the benefits of others. The traffic officer is just one. Going to the doctor is another common example. You've got this ailment, this pain in your side, and you don't know what's causing it. And you go to the doctor and they take a bunch of tests. And they say, this is what's going on. You're eating Cheetos every meal? You can't eat Cheetos every single meal. Maybe once in a while. And you say, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to trust his authority. And it's for your good. It's for your benefit. Submitting to his wise opinion has blessed you. It's protected you. It's cared for you. And it's benefited you. Now today, we consider the goodness of another kind of submission. The goodness of another kind of submission, and that is the goodness of a wife submitting to her own husband. The goodness of a wife submitting to her own husband. Now, I know that this is an offensive idea today, especially to our culture. This is a passage which our culture would quite like to be cut out of the Bible and not heard, spoken of, or talked about. And I think it's also abused by many and it's misunderstood by many. But it is in our text today, and we want to preach what God's word says. So this is where we are in the book of Ephesians. So we're going to look at Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. And this is God's word teaches us wisdom, and this is goodness. This is God's good design, wives submitting to their own husbands. And this is what we're going to consider today, the goodness of a wife submitting to her own husband. Now, let's remember the context here. We've been working our way through the book of Ephesians, and I hope by now you have the layout of Ephesians kind of in your head. Ephesians 1 to 3 is doctrine. Paul is teaching the Ephesians the good news of the gospel. There is one triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father sends the Son. The Son comes and saves a people through his death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit seals us and leads us in this new life. We are saved by God's grace. Though we have sinned, we're dead in our sin. God makes us alive. He saves us. And if we place our faith in Christ, we are justified. We're part of this new creation made of Jews and Gentiles. That's Ephesians 1 to 3. Ephesians 4 to 6 is, well, how do we live now? We're saved by grace, but now what? How do we live differently? And we've been listening to these instructions from the Apostle Paul and working our way through the letter. At this point in the letter, Paul now spends some time addressing wives and husbands. Today we'll consider wives, and next week we'll consider husbands. After that, Paul speaks about children and parents and slaves and masters. So we're going to spend a few weeks looking at these different relationships and how the gospel transforms how we think of them But today we're zooming in on Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. It's in its instruction for Christian wives. Instruction for Christian wives. And what we see is, wives, God calls you to joyfully submit to your own husbands. Now, maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not a wife. How is this going to be applicable to me? Well, just want to encourage you to listen, because you know Christians who are wives. You have friends who are married, and or friends or who will become wives one day. And surely you can be a help to them, an encouragement to them. And this word actually speaks to us as well, even if we're not Christian wives. So let's get into our text today and consider what God's word has to say. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. So first we have an instruction given. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, there is a biblical view of marriage. We're persuaded that God has created the institution of marriage, and he gets to decide what marriage is and what it should be. That marriage is between one man and one woman. This is God's good design. It is not one man and another man, or one woman and another woman, or one man and many women, but it is one man and one woman. That is God's good design. That is the right way to approach marriage, biblically speaking. Though this is rejected by many in our culture today, this is God's good design. And in within this good design, God calls men to lead and to protect, provide, and for wives to follow the godly, sacrificial leadership of their husbands. So this is a good design. And when everything is happening properly, this leads to the flourishing of the husband and the wife and to the society. Now today, Paul is addressing the wives in the congregation of Ephesus. There are these married women, and he has a word, a direct word to the women. So we look at the text, it says wives. So first we should just observe that this is speaking to the married women in the congregation of Ephesus. Now I know that there are some married women here, but there are also some ladies who are not married yet. Girls who will become women and will be probably married likely someday. So this has a lot of application when you think about what does God want a Christian woman wife to be like. And some of you here, you're dating, and maybe one day the person you're dating with will be your spouse. So this has a lot to say to us, especially if you're in that situation. But Paul, notice, remember the context. Paul is assuming that the hearers here are Christians, that this is a Christian wife. Remember, Ephesians 1 to 3 explains the gospel, and 4 to 6 is instructions for Christians. So this is assuming that this wife is a Christian. She has believed the gospel. She's experienced God's grace. Notice also that he doesn't say girlfriends or engaged. So this is not an instruction to you to apply directly if you are a girlfriend or engaged. This is if you have married somebody and you're committed in that bond of marriage. So those are good caveats to remember. Now, what's the instruction? The instruction is, submit to your own husbands. Now, to submit means to follow the leadership and direction of your husband. It means to follow his leading, his directing. You know, the husband is to lovingly care for and lead his wife and children. And while the wife respects the husband and follows his godly leadership, this is the word from the apostle of Christ, to wives. It's not an optional kind of just preference, but it is God's word to the wives. Submit to your own husband. Now, note in the text, who's it say? Whose husband? Your own husband. If you're a wife, you don't have to submit to other men, other husbands. You submit to your own husband. That's a good clarification. But it's also good to remember the bigger picture of Scripture. If your husband is calling you to sin, don't submit. Do not submit to your husband if he's calling you to sin. Don't submit then. But generally, God has called you as a wife to submit to your husband. And I notice as it says in the text, as to the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. A Christian woman has first submitted to Jesus. Men and women, boys and girls, young and old, were called to submit first to Jesus. He is the King. He is our God. Now, a Christian wife has first submitted to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you haven't done that yet. That's the first thing that you need to do. Submit to the Lordship of Jesus. Acknowledge your sin against him and place your faith in his finished work on the cross. But Paul says to the wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We're submitting to the Lord. Now you're in that act of submitting to Jesus. I'll do what Jesus says. Now, we were talking about this today in our men's study. You know, courage doesn't mean you're never afraid, but it means you're doing what's right even as you feel afraid. Now, when you're submitting to your husband, you're submitting first to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to do what you say, and you're calling me to submit to my husband. So I'm going to do that. I submit to Jesus. Now I'm going to submit to the Lord. I'm sorry, submit to my husband as well. As you submit to the Lord, submit to your husband as to the Lord, this will help you. This is what God calls me to do. God's called me to do this, and I've submitted to Jesus. I can trust that Jesus is good. And if Jesus wants me to do this hard thing, then I know that it's good, even when it feels hard. So that this the straight application, and these passages in Ephesians 4 to 6 are very direct, right? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Hear that word today. If you are a wife, God is calling you to submit to your own husband. So a question maybe for the wives, are you submitting to the leadership of your spouse? Are you submitting to your spouse's leadership? Or is there a refusal to submit in certain areas? Are you submitting in your heart as well as your life? Are you kind of grudgingly submitting? It's a challenging word. Instead of submitting, are you trying to override your husband's leadership? Are you trying to usurp that place of leadership? But maybe you say here, but my husband's not even a Christian. Am I still called to submit to my husband when he's not even a Christian? Well, keep a finger in Ephesians. Look at 1 Peter. There's lots of wives, Christian wives, who end up having a non-Christian husband. And God's word directs us. Look at 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. It's a great parallel passage for us. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. This is a great word if you're married to a non-Christian, but also if you're married to a Christian. Listen to the word from Peter. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. That's that submitting. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. You see the power of a godly wife influencing her husband through godly character. Verse 2, when they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So, if you're married to a non-Christian, you're still called to submit to him, but not if he's calling you to sin. Still, you need to resist. Do not follow him into sin. But you say, maybe you say, but my husband's kind of foolish sometimes. He makes some big mistakes and he's blind on some areas. Do I still have to submit to my husband? Now, submission does not mean that you always just remain silent or never voice your opinion. That is not biblical submission. God has blessed a husband with a godly wife who can speak words of wisdom and can help the husband see and understand areas where maybe he's short-sighted in or he doesn't understand. So the wife can speak and she can speak words of concern. Like if I went home today and I said, you know what, Rach, I think we should buy a boat. You know, and put it in our backyard, a big boat. I know that she would have some concern. And she'd say, I don't think that's maybe the best use of our funds. So let's, and I would appreciate her speaking into that situation. So wives are called to submit, but that doesn't mean you can't voice your concern. You can't try to speak words of biblical counsel. Of course you should do that. And it doesn't mean that you don't talk through decisions together. Like, hey, should we go to Florida or should we go to somewhere else for this planned trip that we're going to do? Talk together. You work together. But the husband is called to lead, and God calls the wife to follow her husband's leadership. Even if at the end she's like, you know, I wish we'd gone to that other place, but I'm gonna trust my husband. I'm gonna submit to his leadership on this. That's what God calls us to do. But maybe you're here today and you say, but this sounds oppressive. Isn't this a bit oppressive? What about women's rights and women's liberation? Aren't we past this ethic by now? Isn't Paul a bit old-fashioned for us? Well, I would say, you know, God's word is not oppressive. But actually, God designed marriage, so he knows how it works best, just like all of life. And actually, when this is done well, when this is actually lived out in a husband sacrificially loving his wife, and the wife is respecting and submitting to his leadership, the wife experiences a greater kind of care and protection and provision and an opportunity for peace. She can trust in her God and trust in her loving husband. It's God's good design. There's actually a new kind of freedom that emerges. But you say, but my husband is so passive. He doesn't lead me very well spiritually. Maybe that's what you're saying this morning. Well, wives are still called to submit to the leadership of the husband. But I would encourage you, pray for your husband. Pray that he is less passive in those areas. And there might be a chance to speak to him and encourage him with scripture. But very plain from the text, Ephesians 5:22, wives are called to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. Now, it's wonderful that God gives us instructions and he often gives us a supporting reason to help us. Because this is a hard thing to do. This is a hard thing to do for a wife to submit to her husband. It's hard because of our sin, and our culture certainly does not encourage it. But God calls us to it, and he gives us a reason in verse 23. Look at the reason that he gives in verse 23. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." So the reason why a wife ought to submit to her husband is the husband is the head of the wife. Now, if maybe the first verse was offensive, I'm sure the second verse is even more offensive to our culture today. But let's hear what Paul says, the apostle. It says this, "The husband is the head of the wife." Now, the word kephale, head, and in this context, is referring to the one who's giving leadership, the one who leads. You know, we use this, right? We use the head in this way often, right? Like, oh, you know, this person is heading up this new project. You know, Jeff is now the head of this automotive place. He's bringing all kinds of changes in. We use the word head in often the same kind of way. But here the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. And what that means is God has called the man to be the protector, the provider, and the leader in the marriage and in the family. This is the husband's God-given role. It doesn't mean that he can say, you know, I don't really want to do it. But actually, the husband is called to do that. He is called to be the head. And Paul uses an analogy, doesn't he, in verse 23. The husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So Jesus is the head of the church. We submit to Christ, we follow him. He's the leader, and the husband is called to lead the wife. Now consider Paul's logic with me here. There's an ordering of reality. God has ordered reality this way, that there's the church, the people of God, and Jesus is the head. All of us together, men, women, boys, girls, young, old, we submit to Jesus. He is the head. That is the right order. Now, as God has ordered it that way, God has made another order. The husband is to be the head of the wife within marriage. It's a right ordering. God has set it up this way. Thus, it is right to submit to the God-given authority of a husband. Clint Arnold, in his commentary, says it this way. He says, women should not seek to assert themselves in the home in a way that could be viewed as ruling, controlling, or dominating. Rather, they must acknowledge the God-given role assigned to the husband and respect the leadership he endeavors to provide for the family. So the question again for the wives. We'll ask a lot more questions next week for the husbands, but wives, do you recognize the God-given authority of your husband? Wives, do you recognize the God-given authority of your husband? God's called him to lead, to be the head of the marriage and the home. Do you recognize it? And can I encourage you to remember this passage when it's hard to follow him? God's called him to be the head of the marriage. Now, husbands, God's called you to take this responsibility on. You are the head of your family and your marriage. Are you embracing and living out this role? Are you being a godly man? Are you being a godly man? Are you faithfully giving spiritual leadership to your wife? Are you praying for her? Are you leading the family forward? Are you leading your children forward, husbands? God has called you to take on this role. Or have you been passive lately? Not praying with your spouse, not sharing God's word with them, not encouraging them in the gospel? Have you fallen into passivity and you need to repent? Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you've been kind of a bully and you need to repent of that. Because this is not a license to be a bully or an ogre. God's called you to a sacrificial, loving leadership, laying down your life for your bride. That's next week. But husbands, how is God calling you to repent of abnegating the role of the husband? Let's look at the text here. Look at this beautiful phrase right in the middle of verse 23. It says, for the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Jesus is the savior of the church. Now, the husband is not the savior of the wife. Husbands and wives are saved by Jesus. Jesus is the savior. So the analogy kind of breaks down there. But Paul just takes a minute. He says, Jesus is the savior. He's the savior of the church. When God's people, Israel, went into the land of Egypt, they were in bondage for hundreds of years. They could not escape. They're under this cruel slavery. And we read in the book of Exodus, they cried out to God. And it says that God heard their prayers. And he raised up Moses to be a savior to them. God brought about all kinds of signs and miracles. And he saved Israel out of bondage in Egypt to the land to be free. And in the gospel, this is what Christ Jesus does. Jesus is God the Son. He came to earth. And he sees us in our bondage of sin. We're slaves of sin, the apostle teaches us. We can't get free. We're spiritually dead. But Jesus comes to save us, to free us from our sin, to give us new life, to raise us up again, so that we would not be enslaved to the devil or to the flesh, but we would live to God and enjoy his love in our hearts. We would become children of God. Jesus is the Savior of the church. Praise God, right? That Jesus is our Savior for husbands and for wives. Now, it's interesting to think about the act of Jesus coming to save us, because it also involved submission. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done. Father, take this cup away from me." He was going to bear the wrath of God and experience a kind of forsakenness in our place. We can't imagine how hard that was. He said, "Take this cup away, but not my will, but your will be done." The Son, Jesus, submitting to the Father to bring about our salvation. We see the goodness of salvation. And you, wives and husbands, you trusted in this Savior who submitted and brought about our salvation. That shows us the goodness of Christ, that we can trust Him. This is God's good design. Wives, it may not feel like the good design at times, especially when your husband's being a jerk or passive, or you just feel within yourself, "I know a better way." But you're submitting first to Jesus. He's your Savior. He saved you from your sin. He saved you from pride and arrogance. You can trust in Him. You can trust that He's in control. He brought you and your husband together. He knows what He's doing. You can trust in Him as you do what He says, as He calls you to submit to your husband. You can cling to Him. "Jesus, you're my Savior. It's really hard to submit right now. My husband is being really passive. Lord, help me. Help me to trust in Him. Help me to submit. You're my Savior." Husbands, Jesus is your Savior. He's called you to be the head of your family, to lead sacrificially. Look to Him this week. Say, "Lord, help me. I feel so afraid. I feel so passive. I don't even know how to do it. God, would you help me?" And remember, He's your Savior. He'll help you right now. But by His Spirit, through His Word, He'll help you. And this is a good reminder for us all, you know, as a church. Christ is our Savior. Maybe that's the one thing you walk away with today. Jesus is the Savior. That's good news. He's my Savior. And maybe my question for you today is, have you embraced Jesus as your personal Savior? Some of you guys are kids. Your parents are professing Jesus. But you have to make a personal decision too, children. A decision to believe on Jesus and follow Him. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Let the little children do what?
Come to me."
Yeah, come to me. You're not too young to believe in Jesus. You can come to Him and He can be your Savior too. And you're also not too old. If you're still alive, you can still believe on Jesus. He's the Savior. He's our Savior as we face the trials and challenges of this life. Now look how Paul finishes this text here. He says in verse 24, "Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." What Paul's doing here is he's restating his instruction in verse 22. Sometimes we need to hear the same instruction multiple times, don't we? Sometimes we're kind of thick, we're slow, and it's just God's grace to help us hear it again and again. And he's basically restating what he said in verse 22, and he's expanding a little bit and giving an analogy. He says this in verse 24, "Wives should submit in everything to their husbands." But he gives this analogy. He says, "As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So the analogy is the church submitting to Christ. Jesus is God. He's our King. What Jesus says about what we should do with our mouth, we submit. We're not going to gossip and complain and slander. Jesus owns my mouth. He's my King. What Jesus says for me to do with my wallet, I'm going to submit. He's my King. I'm not going to hold back my wallet and say, "You know what? But it's my money." No, Christ is King. I'm going to trust in Him. Jesus is King over my schedule. My time is not my own. He's given me my whole schedule. So I'm going to submit to Christ and use it for His glory. Now, it's right for the church to submit in everything to Jesus, not to hold back anything, not to hold back our sexuality, our finances, our schedule. Now, we submit to Jesus in everything. And Paul says this is the analogy. As the church submits in everything to Christ, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should also submit in everything to their husbands. So he adds that phrase. That means wives submitting in your hearts and in your lives, in every area, being willing to submit and follow the leadership of your husband. Now, I know that this is This might be a really hard word for some of you. But my encouragement again is that Christ is the Savior. Look to Jesus, see his character, and remember that he is with you as you seek to be a godly wife. Ask him to help you. And I just kind of encourage the wives to learn from each other in this. As you have learned to submit, or you struggle and you've grown in these areas, just I can encourage the women to encourage each other in this. The culture is not going to encourage you in this. The culture is going to encourage you to do the opposite, to take leadership and ownership, override the authority or the leading of your husband, and not to submit. That's why we need the body of Christ to encourage each other. This was hard in Ephesus, and it's hard today in Naperville. So encourage each other. When you're meeting with a younger woman who will one day be married, you know, some of these girls, you know, 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years will be married women. Isn't that crazy to think about? Some of the women, the girls here, maybe married girls, married women someday. And part of helping our sisters in Christ prepare for marriage is saying, you know, this is God's good design. I know our culture thinks it's stupid and backward, but actually there's a goodness to it, and I've seen it lived out. So this is part of discipling other women, is helping them in this. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Cling to Jesus. Husbands, lead your homes well. And church, if you're single, you're not married, can you pray for the wives and the husbands? Marriage is not always a bed of roses, right? Sometimes it's really hard because the husband's a sinner and the wife is a sinner. Pray for the married couples, that wives would loving, humbly submit and husbands would sacrificially love their wife. Pray for your friends who are married. If you're not married, pray for them. When your friend who is a married Christian woman comes by, and maybe she is speaking derogatively about her husband and complaining about her husband and kind of talking about how maybe she should just do her own thing, this is a chance for you to say, you know what, my sister, let's open up Ephesians again. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 directs you on what to do in this situation. We need to help each other because these are hard things to do, but we can encourage each other in this. Now, this text has certainly been abused, right? It's been a license for men to abuse their wives. And that is not what we're encouraging today. It is wicked to hit your wife, to abuse your wife physically, verbally, emotionally. That is wicked and evil. But men are called to lead, and wives are called to joyfully submit. And Jesus really is the Savior. Let's cling to Jesus, our Savior. And let's encourage each other in God's good design for marriage. Next week, we're going to be considering the word to the husbands in verses 25 to 33. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this instruction for Christian wives. Thank you for how it also speaks to all of us. It challenges us to reject the culture's view of marriage and relationships. But it also reminds us of the good news of the gospel, that Christ is the Savior of the church. Lord, we rejoice that you saved us from our sins and from the foolish ways that we want to approach marriage and life. Lord, I pray for my sisters in Christ who are married. Would you strengthen them in their marriages? Help them to submit to their husbands. I pray for my brothers who are married. Help them to be godly husbands who are not passive and lazy, and are not heavy-handed, but lovingly, sacrificially love their wives. And I pray for all of us, Lord. Help us to embrace this biblical view of marriage and relationships. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.